You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
And you're hanging out with Two Divas and a Margarita, and I am Diva Tosh.
And I am Diva Cass, and happy Sunday to everybody.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
The time has come.
Our crossover show.
Yeah.
Can we talk?
Excited. All right, so we're doing a crossover show today with another podcast show in our studio. Unofficial. Can we talk? What's the unofficial about?
Look, Facebook is really on our tail. So we're working on ourselves. Can we talk? But okay. I'll let Eric do our classic introduction.
All right.
Thank you, Eric.
Oh, this is a lot of pressure. Welcome to the crossover episode with Can We Talk and Two Divas and a Margarita. My name is Eric McLeod, and we're here with the usual suspects, Shayna, Anthony, and a new face. Oh, Benny. Benny hasn't joined us in a while. Actually, you haven't been here. Ever. So it was your first time.
Hello, man.
On a podcast, period.
But we would think. Oh,
he's a podcast virgin.
We popped his cherry.
Yep.
We
popped your podcast cherry.
I've been here. A lot of blood.
But we would like to thank you two for hosting us and allowing us to collaborate with you all. Yeah. We're excited about this discussion.
Yeah, it's so exciting to finally put like a face to the voices.
Yes.
Here we are.
Yes. Here we are. It's about to get wild.
Okay, and so we have a new engineer working with us today.
Ryan.
What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Ryan? Are you nervous, Ryan?
A little nervous.
Ryan.
Don't be nervous.
And my head's like right in the way of the
Ryan, camera. Don't jack us up. Please. It's
trying. We're all learning here, right?
Right.
Someone get Ryan a margarita.
Seriously.
I'm excited. This is awesome.
So. Okay. No, Ryan is the one person. He's got to stay. I can't hear myself, but you got to stay sober, Ryan.
Yeah, right. Right. Unfortunately.
You're handling the engineering.
And you're going in front of the camera every time you lean out.
Yeah, he know that's why he was trying not to.
Well, that's okay, but we still want to acknowledge you and say thank you so much for joining our show today and for doing the technical stuff for us. So we surely appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
One thumb up in front of the camera. Well, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about one of our favorite subjects, sex.
Let's talk about sex.
Yes. Sex and millennials. So I think it's safe to assume that all our guests here are millennials.
Yes.
What is a millennial?
Allegedly.
Maybe.
Supposedly someone born between 1980 and 95-ish, somewhere in that area.
That's a long stretch.
That's a very long stretch.
but somehow we all fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And we're going to just get to it. Any exciting news this week? The little guy from...
The little guy. He died.
Vern Troyer.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you.
He died?
Thank you for that save, yeah. Shayna, because I did not know his name.
Yeah, I just shook my soul.
Mini me died. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, call him the little guy.
Okay. That's a way to.
Many me did die,
but I know who she was talking about.
You know, so I just think we should all take a sip.
Yes, hey,
rest in peace, poor
little guy.
Yeah,
poor little bit alpha.
Yeah. It was a short life.
Mm-mm.
Oh, stop it! Stop it!
I ain't pouring nothing out.
That wasn't right.
I remember when Paul.
But it was funny.
I remember when Paul Walker died. My friend was like, "Wow, he really lived fast and furious." I'm like, "Oh, stop it!"
Oh, and truth. One quick thing: we got to give a shout out to Kendrick Lamar.
Okay,
Melissa Price.
Yes.
I mean, damn. You know, like, damn.
That's big.
That's major.
That's major.
He has broke down some barrier walls.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
I'm excited about that.
Good things going on there.
I gotta ask this question. Two Divas and a Margarita. Is that your version of Two Dope Boys in a Cadillac?
I never even heard of them, but.
No, that's a song.
That could be a podcast.
That's some millennial stuff. That's some millennial stuff.
See, y'all on some millennial stuff here. We don't even know what it is.
Outcast was in your time, but.
Outcast was in our time. Had some good times, though.
That's our time.
You know.
Millennials do their research.
We're gonna get going with Look, what are you trying to say here?
Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, we want to talk about millennials and sex. And I found something very surprising because I did some research.
Cassie is good with research.
I found out that, first of all, we all were under the perception that millennials were the generation of the hookup. And... Mm. The friends with benefits. Mm. But then supposedly I'm finding out that millennials are actually having less sex than their parents. Oh. They're supposedly, according to the LA Times, they're supposedly having less sex than any generation in 60 years. That's a big thing. Do you guys agree with that? I'm not saying your personal experience, but your generation, Would you say they're the generation of hookups, or they're being a little more conservative with their sexual choices?
To be honest.
It really depends on the person, but I think it's more hookups than conservative.
So you don't believe you guys are having less sex than
I don't believe that.
No, okay.
I don't know. I like, based on personal experience, like, after I went through a really bad breakup, I was involuntarily celibate for, like, 5 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good. She said involuntary.
Emphasis on involuntary.
Okay, Shayna, explain a little bit by what you mean by that.
Like, I attempted to date, and I would meet a guy that I was physically attracted to, and then he would always say something. I'm like,
say something stupid,
like,
huh?
I can't even, you know, like, give you the draws. Like,
It was like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. And then, you know, talking to my girlfriends, they'll be like, oh, I can't even, you know, we get turned off by like a lot of stuff, especially when, like, in the past you've seen a red flag and then you encounter someone new and you see that same red flag and it's like, oh no, I gotta step back.
Right.
So maybe we're wiser.
Actually, I think that's actually being smart on your part.
Right. Just exactly. For real.
I hear different things. Like, I hear from guys, like, you know, I can never find a woman that I can take home to mama. And I hear from women, like, there's no good black men around. Like, I remember when I found my girlfriend, she said, before I met you, I was going to give up on brothers. You know, I was going to start going across the street or something. But she said, you know, you're from a great home and I love you. And, you know, like, you were a shock. And that shocked me. Like, I was a shock. And I guess, you know, the dating game is hard, especially in the millennial generation, because, you know, it's all about the selfie, you know, like the selfie and all that.
Yeah, I think that's the ease of access that we have to, you know, these apps, these dating apps. I think the hookup culture, I think it might be exaggerated. You know, I think that we're taking maybe small examples and sort of blowing it up as being, you know, the assumption for everybody. But I don't really know. I think it could be a little bit of both. I think it might be somewhere in the middle. I think a lot of people are open and free with their sexuality and, you know, doing their thing, and other people may be a little bit more conservative. So it's kind of hard to say.
Okay, that's fair enough. I think we heard from
How we broke that down.
Well, Betty, did we hear from you?
No. It's a lot to take. I mean, to go off of. I mean, my first question when you posed that was about how much less sex.
Right. Yeah.
Having.
What's the figure?
Like, are we really that? Because I doubt it's that off. I mean, if you look at it, if we're millennials from 1980 to 1995, I mean, in there. AIDS and stuff came out.
That was a big part of why.
I'm guessing that may have something to do with it.
It did.
A lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, but
major
then,
factor.
Then you have, but I mean, we're born, like, if you're born in 1980, you're only having sex legally until you're 18. I don't know. So you grew up knowing about that stuff, and maybe that factored in. Honestly, we have more technology, like Eric was saying, Tinder. Plenty of fish and apps, so we should have easier access to other people.
For sure, I think you do.
And the internet just blew up on our face. We were the generation with primarily, you know, learned that growing up. So, I mean, it doesn't make sense. But if you look at it under the microscope, maybe it's the DARE actually worked when I was a kid. Maybe DARE, those school initiatives that make you abstain, maybe it worked.
Okay.
You posed a really good question, Benny, about, like, how are they gauging this? Are they gauging it because we're having less children? Or are they gauging it by surveys?
I think it's more probably surveys. Some research, I would think, definitely probably, you know, I think surveys would be a huge one.
Yeah, probably.
Surveying millennials. But I like to go back to what we were saying about AIDS, the AIDS epidemic. Mm-hmm. It came up on the scene in the 80s, and you know, it was a wake-up call for everybody having promiscuous sex, you know. Yeah. So maybe that's why, you know, millennials decided maybe take a step back, because you definitely have more access. We were talking about this earlier when we knew we were going to do the show. And all we had was a telephone.
That's true. Right.
And if you were
it was connected to a wall.
It was connected to a wall. And if you lived in a house with, like me, with four brothers and sisters, you were even lucky to get on that telephone. Yeah. So it was a lot of going out. I'm beyond, put my age out there because I'm going downtown to the festivals, mm-hmm. me and my best girlfriend getting phone numbers. Like, that was like a big thing. We would like come home with these pocket full of
pieces of paper,
phone numbers, and trying to figure out, now, who was this one?
Who got the most, right?
You know, and who was this one?
That sounds awesome.
Right, girls getting my number. I would love that.
I'm laughing. We had to identify the person.
You had to figure out because by the time you got home.
This guy had a mole on his face. Guy with mole on face.
That's hilarious.
It's true. It's true. So
we still do that.
Yeah.
Right. We just put it in the phone.
No, but now you got Twitter. You can look him up on Instagram first, right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, you have more access. You can research a little bit about people because, you know, this is something I've had a hard time with. And it's probably really big in the millennials, but even Tosh knows. I was not a big fan of social media. I didn't even have a Facebook page until we started doing this podcast, which was like last year.
Yep.
Because it just was, to me, so personal to be putting your stuff out there. And I'm just like, I'm not going to change, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, change is good. So to me, a thing that I don't understand, I have a 17-year-old son. Mm. I don't understand the putting all of your life out there for everyone to see. Like, now, and I'm not saying that you guys do this, but maybe you can shed a little more light on what is the draw? What is the big thing? You know, why would you want to do that? I can understand sharing some photos.
Right.
I can understand this is a big thing, big event that happened in my life. Mm-hmm. I might want, but there's so many details like that people put out there.
I think there's this addiction to sort of being connected to the world around you, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we always want to ensure that, you know, we're connected with our friends either from college or in school. Mm-hmm. And then so we create these profiles to sort of, you know, update people in their lives. But it becomes an addiction to the point where, you know, things that can be personal that we don't have to share, we're sharing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, Eric, I like that you said you used the word addiction with this. It really is
it
an addiction.
Is.
It's
like,
literally an addiction.
I think a lot of people don't think of it because when we think of addiction, we think of drugs, we think of alcohol, we think of sex, you know. But we never use the social media as an addiction. And I like that you said that.
I think
The same chemical from your brain is released like as you get more likes on posts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
So it's a real addiction.
It's a real thing.
I believe even I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
I believe even like the most like reserved person, like I'm on Facebook, like I'm mostly on there for like business purposes, like for our podcast or, you know, like my Instagram profile at Reluctant Movie Buff. You know, but it's like sometimes.
Was that a shout out?
Yes. I'm going to do that. I'm sorry. I brokered this meeting. You know.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like and again, this goes back to relationships. I feel like, you know, one time me and my girl got in a fight and I did not want to be this person, but I vaguely put out on Facebook like, man, I hate it when you're in a relationship and such happens. And then I remember my girl reached out to me like, don't be that guy. Like that's not the guy I fell in love with. Don't be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, I'm not perfect. I needed somebody to vent to. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to tell this to my mama. I ain't going to talk to my dad.
But you're going to tell it to the whole
to the world. That don't make sense.
But the people I'm friends with on Facebook are actually my friends. I don't have like 100 friends. It's limited. But I'm like, I got to tell this to somebody. Yeah. And
okay,
she's like,
I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
Could you not have just dialed Benny's number?
Right.
You've been like, man, Benny, I need to talk instead of just making that post out there.
Listen, like I said, we're not perfect.
Okay.
I wasn't perfect in that moment. I had to say something out there, and she was like, "Don't do that," you know. And plus, you know, we're not the type to do that. We talk about it in the moment. Mm-hmm. But I realized something. Yeah, I like her too. But, you know, I realized something in that moment that, you know, humans aren't perfect and it can become addicting and it can draw you in to do something you're not usually willing to do. Like, I don't go to Facebook for my problems, but in that moment, I was like, I got to vent to something, you know.
And I agree with that. I think that, you know, as human beings, our nature is to, if we have a something to say, we want a space to say it. And I think that social media is just that easy platform.
Because
we assume that no one's looking or no one's paying attention. You know, I make posts. Not really expecting anyone to reply. It's just more so I'm getting this off my chest and I want to sort of express myself, you know. So this is our way to do so, but we don't understand. But again, there's consequences to those decisions that you make. Yeah.
So probably when you're ready, in a moment and angry, you probably should take a few minutes, settle down before you throw that post out there. I think because, like I said, I am fairly new to Facebook, and I was just like, what? they're talking about this. They put all their business out there. And so it was, and then there's the selfie queen.
Oh, yeah.
That one was.
Filters galore.
Instagram model.
Yes. That was interesting to me as well, because when I would go onto the Facebook feed and I would see the same person, people, all the time. They're just constantly. And it's like, wow, like, do you have a job? Like, how do you have the time to do this? You know, I definitely get sharing. And
that is profitable.
It is. You make some money.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the other thing. You find lots of people, monetizing off of Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back and get a little more into the set. One good thing about you, Melinda, supposedly the Huffington Post says teen pregnancy has plummeted under millennials. That is so good.
That's all.
You know.
There's some pros and cons to this.
There's some pros. Obviously, if you're having less sex, you're having less teenage pregnancy.
Right.
I would think
but
so.
But I'm not opposed to the Plan B smoothie for my daughter.
Sneak that on in there.
Well, you know what? I want to ask about socially how connected you guys are, because I observe in my household, because I got two girls. And I find that at the age that they are today, which I'm going to say 22, even though they're like, we are not 22 yet. But they are 22, that they don't go out or hang out like I used to at that age. Mm-hmm. You could not keep me home.
Yeah.
But I find that a lot of their time is spent sitting on these phones, because that's how they keep in touch with their friends. That's how they communicate with their friends. I actually, was waiting on one of my girls to come back with some feedback about something. And she's like, well, so-and-so didn't text back yet. And I said, well, how about just calling her? Because we're sitting here waiting for a text back, and you could actually make the phone ring and get an answer right away. Do you guys find yourself talking in text as opposed to actually talking to each other?
Listen, if I'm like, I can be on the phone with Benny. I can be on the phone with Eric and Shayna. But I feel like if it's somebody that's a friend and we hang out occasionally, we got to text before we start talking.
Right.
Like, you know, I talk to my girl all the time. And, you know, I feel like you talk with somebody that you feel a real friendship with or a real relationship with. I feel like texting is like, you know, that's the basics. There's steps to this, and I guess in the millennial time of things, there's steps to this.
I never looked at it like that.
It is, you know, because it's like, you know, when you get a call from somebody that you don't usually talk to on the phone, you're like, oh, why didn't you just text me, bro?
For real.
You know? And you don't want to be mean about it, but it's like, yo, this is our effective communication. Calling is something way deeper. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to explain. I know it sounds weird, but calling is like a deeper bond.
So you definitely do that with your girlfriend.
Yes.
But you don't necessarily want the fellas calling you.
No. It's not that. It's just a deeper bond. Like you guys, like I really mess with you if you can call me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, like my grandma, she can call me.
Like, your grandma better call
she
you.
She can call me. You know, like they can call me.
Problems.
Okay.
But it's like, I don't know. It's a deeper bond to me.
I look at it as a convenience thing. Like sometimes I'm busy. I'm not in the space to talk on the phone and call you. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to shoot you a message. Like, hey, I want to get this. And it's usually quick messages. Nothing too long. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just short, sweet, to the point. And if I do have to talk to you over the phone, I don't mind calling you. It's just, again, let's use this method first before we go ahead into the other step.
All right. I do want to give a shout out to Rafe, because we are live, so we're getting feedback. Rafe, thank you for the feedback. He's saying it could be that you want some input, but no specific person to vent to. So want to say thank you to that. If anyone's else out there listening, send us a comment. We can see your comment. We want to know what you think as well. I'm sorry. Can go.
No.
So another thing, millennials, you guys aren't getting married so soon.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. So you say it's the good. Same thing. You're not getting married. Your friends are pushing marriage off a little bit longer.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I see the opposite. I see a lot of my friends hooking up and getting married and having the, you know, dog with the picket fence in the house and all that. I do see that for my friends, you know, and I guess we're getting a little deeper here. You know, with my girl, you know, she's totally opposite. Like, she wants to push for that. And I'm kind of, I'm
sorry. How long have you been dating? I'm sorry. How long have you guys been dating?
About About 2 years.
Okay. All right.
About
I like that he was couple. He was like, about 2 years.
No, it's up there.
That's a nice length of time.
Yeah. No, it is. And, you know, and I do see her as a Miss Holden. But it's just the fact
that I
want to.
We got to talk about the podcast, y'all.
But it's like I want to focus, like, you know, I remember I was talking to Benny about this. I want to focus on me. Like, I want to enjoy us as a couple before we become, you know, married, because I'm going to take that seriously.
Yeah.
Can I chime in?
It's going to switch gears. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
To defend Anthony and my friend and other millennials, did you guys need a college? Well, how about a decade ago or 2 decades ago, did you really need a college diploma, or did you just go get it if you wanted it?
No, I think you needed one. I'm be honest, I don't have one.
Well, let's there you go. So my point is, it's more of a necessity for us to have a college diploma,
actually,
which slows down.
I don't mean to cut you off or speak over Cass, but no, you didn't need it like you need it today.
Yeah, exactly. I do think you need it more today.
Exactly. Yes. So my point is, a lot of people got factory jobs, especially here in Michigan.
This is true.
Yeah. My grandfather.
You're talking about my dad's generation. Now you
say. All right. Like,
don't age. Don't age.
Yeah, don't put me way over there, Ben. but I do understand what you said.
To be fair, you did reference the people before us. You said they did it sooner. Mm-hmm. Well, what would stop you from getting married? Well, maybe money. Mm-hmm. Maybe not having yourself established like my friend Anthony. Maybe not having a proper education for the job you want to make the money you can make.
Uh-huh.
So this is the reasons why, like, my uncles are in the plant now. Mm-hmm. I actually worked at a plant myself briefly, but I gave it up to finish my degree because I knew that was more.
Oh, good.
More going to be more money for me at the very end of the rainbow. And so I could have had that life, and luckily I didn't, because they, you know, helped me and paved the way for me. So my point is that we have, in my opinion, more things to do, longer time spans to do it. If you want to be an engineer, it's probably going to take you a good 8 years, bachelor's, and whatever else you need to do. I mean, doctor too. So if you really want to have a good job and a good lifestyle with today's world, you have to do that, because high school is not good enough anymore.
No, I don't believe so.
So that's why.
I will also say that there's a sense of selfishness that we have as well. I think that we're looking out. Again, I got friends, like, I want to travel a little bit before I get married. I want to have friends who want to sort of enjoy life a little bit before they get married. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think that since we're living in this really this globalized society, the borders are widening. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to enjoy life a little bit before you know that you settle down for the long run, you know, when you're in your 30s and moving forward. So I think that can also be a thing, that as well as education is important, but it's a multitude of factors.
Yeah,
definitely. So,
well, so those are some reasons why you think, you said you putting it off for school, you're putting it off to enjoy life a little more, because I'm going to tell you too, when you do get married, it is a lifestyle change for a lot of people. So you want to have a little more fun. One thing I found interesting as well doing my research is that millennials are so busy.
Yeah.
So they say that, and I happen to know a few that. I hate to put up Mary. I won't say her last name. That was a busy young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other young people I know. Like, it amazes me how, you know, you can fit so much into your lives, jobs and school and just a multitude of other things. And this is one of the reasons why they say millennials are putting marriage off a little longer. Mm-hmm. Good news is that you guys are putting it off. And they say that people who put marriage off to later years, it is more likely to last. So that's definitely a good thing.
Absolutely.
You know, my parents were married. My mom was 16. Actually, her mom had to sign for her to get married.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a little older than her, but still, surprisingly, there's no way I would have considered marriage at 16. And I don't think the millennials, most of them, would probably not consider marriage at such a young age.
I was going to say, that's so funny, because at one of my jobs, my supervisor told me, she was like, when she found out that I had found my new place, she says, oh, is your girlfriend moving in with you? I said, no, I like my solitude. she'll be over there a lot. She says, you know what? It's good you're saying that, because I got married at a young age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she later got divorced. Mm-hmm. But she was like, yeah, you know, I think you're going from the right way. But be careful, when you're by yourself, you like being by yourself. Yeah.
Mm.
So I kept that in my mind, too. But, yeah, you know, I feel like. And when you spoke about the young lady that you knew, we're busy because we're trying to work to be where we can't be, where we don't have to be so busy.
Sure.
You know, I think that's the reason.
And with Anthony, too, I'm going to point out, when you're looking at your parents' generation in a divorce race right now, like somewhere near 50%, it's almost like you're going to be a little bit more cautious before you jump into that, you know, because you see there's not really a good success rate. So you want to make sure it's the right person, the right time. And it's important. I think that's an important reason why I hope in the future that the divorce rate goes down. I mean, who's to say? But I think that, again, they're looking at parents. They're looking at what they're having to their parents' families and if they divorce and split up and how that's going to sort of affect them psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looking at relationships.
Yeah, I know I'm not married yet because I haven't found a man like my daddy. But when I say like my daddy, I mean somebody who was able to not go to college and benefit from affirmative action when it was only for black people,
mm-hmm.
who was able to finesse a VA loan into a home.
Mm. Okay.
Like, he had access to resources back then that a lot of black young men don't have now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So do you think you are do you want to get married? Cause,
yes.
Because some people just don't want to get married.
Yes, I would love to be a wife one day. I work toward that because I know I have a lot of personality flaws. Like, I work toward that daily, you know, preparing my mind, my behavior toward being a wife one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already a mother.
Mm-hmm.
So, I work toward that a lot. And I would like to be married.
Okay.
I actually like the thought of millennials taking longer to get married.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's so beneficial for so many reasons. And you hear me say this all the time, Cass. I think for most, I could only speak for young ladies, we really don't know ourselves until 30 and beyond.
Yep.
Because between now and 29-ish, 30, 31, we're changing so much.
I agree.
And I think a lot of the things that in your 20s that you were okay with and that you liked, by the time you get to your 30s, you realize, I know myself a little better.
I think that's
and I really
and
don't
women,
like that
though.
Anymore.
I think you could safely say that that's for men and women. You are not the same person in your 20s as your 30s, your 40s. So as you go on, you mature and you learn more. And if you sometimes you get married too young, you have two people here in their 20s that are two completely different people over
right.
here
Absolutely.
In 30 and 40.
Absolutely.
And now we're growing apart because, you know, we realize who we are and we want different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to add one more thing. One of the things that sets you off, too, is like, and this is just me. You know, I look at my parents. I love my mom and dad very much. But I feel like they're the type that like it's like married with children. It's like they love each other, but they don't like each other. And I'm like, of course, like, you know, and of course, you know, as a man, you look for your mother and your girl. And I do see similar characteristics between them, but not to a negative impact, you know, like, but it's like I don't see that in my girl. But I look like in my mom and dad, I'm like, they are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are not happy. And I'm looking at that. And I'm like, I don't want that.
No.
So that in the back of your mind, that affects some things too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, not putting anybody on blast, do you think they get people get to a point where they just tolerate each other?
I think that's the situation with my
I
folks.
See people that aren't married that do that.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah. I would have to totally agree. And you're like, okay, you're not even married.
Right.
But is it the fear of the unknown?
Or fear of being alone? I think a lot of people are scared of being alone.
And then also the unknown. I know this person. I know this who I'm dealing with, even though they drive me insane. Mm. I just don't want to get into a new relationship because this is comfortable for me.
Right.
And then everything is so fast paced. You can be out of the dating game for 2 years and then get back in and it's different from
mm-hmm.
where you were.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. So, guys, your marriages are lasting longer. You're putting marriage off. Mm. But supposedly, you like the hookup, so let's talk about the hookup. All right.
Thirst app.
Right, right.
So I just want to go around the table because the hookup, the FWB, the friends with benefits. Give me your definition of what a friend with benefits is. And I know you're in a relationship, but you weren't always in one.
Right, of course not. Yeah. I had one. So basically, it's like this, man. You know, it's somebody that you have an emotional and or physical connection to, but you don't establish yourself as a unit. I feel like even when you're a couple before marriage, you establish yourself as a unit. You don't really establish yourself as a unit with this person. It's like they're the homie, but they're the homie you're attracted
to.
The
homie lover friend.
Right, exactly.
Now you know.
Right.
But that's basically my definition there.
And sometimes it could be a situation where it's just the wrong place at the wrong time.
Like, okay, so.
You could be really good with each other, but for instance, you're about to graduate from college and you're going to be moving to another state. So it's really no point of becoming, you know, actual partners because those things are going to be, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so before we go finish it, supposedly friends with benefit is the two people in the same social circle that hang out as friends but also have sex. Would you say that is accurate? What do you think,
Shana? I think friends with benefits is a farce.
Oh, I like this.
It's basically people who have an emotional connection that want to sleep with other people or don't want the responsibilities of a relationship, and that can be the male or the female in the the scenario. Mm-hmm. I am emotionally attached to my vagina, so I can't have that type of situation. Like, I have to be with you, or we have to be on the path of being together in order for me to give my body to you.
Have you ever tried it?
Yeah. Oh,
and so it didn't work.
It gets messy. It didn't work for me, and it also didn't work for the other individual.
Okay.
It never works. It never lasts.
No, it never does.
But I do want to get back to that. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go and see what you think friends with benefits actually really is to you.
And
have you ever had one?
So for me, I'm the type of person I'm a relationship type guy. When I'm emotionally invested in someone, I want to give them my time because I think that's just fair. Right. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I think that ultimately friends with benefits are people who it may be a situation again, wrong place, wrong time, or they just like the convenience of that, just being with the person, but not really being with the person, right?
You're physically attracted to her.
Right, but you don't want to be with them in terms of, you don't want to be locked down into something. Right.
Have you been in that type of relationship?
I'm always relationships. I keep it, either if it's a short period of time or if it's a long period of time, I want to dedicate myself just to that person.
Okay.
You are who you are.
Yeah, yep. Right. Fair enough. It's not for everyone. How about you, Benny?
Answer the question? No, but I will say that I've had plenty of female best friends, and as it's been, for moments where it's just like I could go for the strike right now, but it just feels like the time has never been there. Just to sum it up, I mean, I'm not that great of looking of a man as Anthony, so probably he's
never. Don't say that.
Who knows? But yeah, that either it's been like straightforward, and it could just be a juncture of who I am, just as a person. I'm more straightforward. If I like somebody, actually, I tell them immediately. So
you do tell them?
Yeah, I go in.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you say you have lots of female friends.
Yeah, so honestly.
Are you physically attracted to any of them?
And that's a part of Anthony's definition is a physical or emotional connection. I've had maybe emotional connections, but I know if I'm physically attracted to them and if I want to pursue them, because it's actually more than just physical intimacy. It's actually more of a mental cognition thing. I like the virtues in you and everything else. Right. That if those two things don't follow, that first thing's not there, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
So I'm never in this in-between zone. I think
The friend zone, the in-between zone, that's a dark place.
It's a dark, lonely, sad place.
Inescapable place.
Going off what Shana said, I think it's a farce because I think that's only a product of a person who's not sure what they want or who they are and what they can really have, what's realistic. So you may say, okay, I'll go with the friends with benefits thing because she will never, ever, ever. She's going to Chicago. It's not realistic. Let's just do this. Oh, I just like her. I'm not sure if I'm really her type, but hey, I think I can smash. So I'm no insults thrown. I feel like it's just a product of how you view yourself and if you're sure of what you really want.
Okay.
Also, I got to piggyback off Eric. It's kind of like an identity revelation moment because after that experience and a little incident with another woman, I kind of realized I'm the relation type. I kind of realized that, it opened my eyes a little bit like, this ain't really for me because it is a farce. You realize it don't really last. Right. It doesn't last.
OK, I do want to ask you, Ryan. I know you thought you were going to get you thought you were safe, but you are not ever safe here. What have you been in a friends with benefits situation before? And if so, what have you?
I have back in my day. No, I'm just kidding. But I've been there. But I guess I'll just say that it seems like a good thing at the time, but just kind of learning from mistakes. I feel like I guess if I could go back, it probably wasn't worth it. Like nothing ever really like bad happened, but you're kind of like, what was the point of that?
Did it ruin the friendship?
it just made it weird, and you know, it probably could have been more. And you know, you kind of think you're living in the moment, but you're actually like looking too far forward, and just I don't know. I just after like kind of reflecting back on it, it just didn't seem like a good thing. But you know, you got to learn, you know, and it's not for everybody, and. Yeah, I don't know. So,
okay, let me ask you this. This was apparently a friend of yours, someone you hung out with, you probably knew fairly well.
Yes, yeah.
So it happened in the heat of the moment, or was there a discussion like, "Hey, why don't we just start having sex and still be friends?" Like,
yeah, kind of like the party scenario, you know, where you know we're just hanging out and having a good time, and you know, one thing led to another, and it's just like everything was so cool, and you know. Just kind of open before and now it's like now when I text you or call you it's like do you want to you know like I always kind of go too far and I'm like do you want to go out to dinner do you want to do these things
so
like, they're like whoa like what
you were right you were right,
yeah.
Just,
right. And I'm like
I admire that you nice actually yeah. I mean you weren't just saying hey we're friends so let's just kind of bang it out every now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
You were being a gentleman and saying, you know, let's go out to dinner or whatnot.
Yeah, and then it's like you're not getting the reply back. It's like, I'm busy. It's like, burn.
So were you in the same social network? Did you have the same friends and whatnot?
Yeah, it was kind of like work related, so it was a little different.
It was
different.
Not the work. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know.
Was it this job?
No. This is a long time ago.
Because when you were in, you know, in that work situation, you can't even get away from it. It's like every day you have to go to your job and you have to see this person. So
exactly. And I feel like they handled it better than I did because I guess maybe I was catching feelings for it. So,
and that is the risk in that type of situation. You risk one of you catching feelings. If both of you do, I think that's actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, actually, you know what?
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for asking.
They made a movie about that with Justin Timberlake.
They did.
And I mean, if you just want to take some stuff that happened in that movie, you really don't know how far to take it. Mm. And then you get too emotionally caught up in the moment because if you text her and for dinner and she said no, then you're like, oh, you know, you don't know how to feel. You don't know which way to go, left, right. Yeah. I don't think it's ever a good thing. What are you thinking, Anthony?
I can't say it's never. Because if this is a person you're truly friends with, and you hook up and it becomes a relationship, it could be really good. Don't you think?
Like me, you have an identity revelation. It can be a good thing.
Most times it's not.
But the question is, how many times does it turn out into a relationship?
Yeah, because why aren't you in a relationship anyway? Right. You know,
it's just a failed friendship.
Yeah. I think the worst thing is you can mess up the friendship and lose the friendship. Yeah. And it can be really awkward.
Yeah.
I don't personally know too many scenarios where it actually did work out. Mm-hmm. Do you guys?
No.
I don't think I do.
Nope.
Anthony?
I don't know. Still talking to her? Are you still talking about
Let me ask you guys about, we're just talking about hooking
up.
We're cool. We're amicable.
We're just talking about kind of hooking up, and we talked a little bit about social media. The social media and the hookup. Come on, let's talk. First of all, I'm just going to share this. It might be oversharing, but I just got on Facebook last year when we started the podcast. If somebody send me one more penis pic,
don't send me
your penis anymore. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, like unsolicited dick pics are the worst.
I didn't ask for that.
I mean, if I ask for it, then, you know.
Just drop it on the table. There you go.
Okay, so I'm going to put that out there. So you do get the dick pic.
I used to, like, get the unsolicited, like, when I would first meet a guy.
Yeah. You don't even know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't know if that is super offensive to me. But you're taking the chance of sending this dick pic. I was trying to be nice and say penis. But, you know, Janice, like, hey.
Let's call it what it is.
And now with the way technology is now, you have the group chat. where you don't see your friends every day, but you still talk to them every day in the group chat. So if you send me an unsolicited dick pic, it's going in the group chat and we talking about it.
And I'm unfriending you. Okay. So I do want to say Quincy just chimed in and he says friends with benefits usually don't go well if planned. If you're really cool, then it might just happen to go down. But normally if you keep pursuing it, then that's when it turns out to be weird. So thank you, Quincy, for chiming in. It is true. It's unsolicited. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for you to send me, and it probably isn't even your penis because, you know, you're trying to really be like, hey, look, check this out. I'm all big.
I want to know, what do they think the reaction is going to be?
I can't.
Do they think that I'm going to be like,
they must
wow?
think every woman is a freak or something.
Let me, and if that's what I want to talk to you guys. We do have some guys here, and, and I'm not, naturally, I'm not accusing you guys of sending dick pics. No. What is the whole, what is the thought process?
I'll put it this
possibly
way.
Possibly behind. Behind
Please,
this. So are people
preach,
really
Eric.
As men,
yes,
we are stupid. That's it. We're dumb. We don't think things through. We sometimes we work off impulses, and if we think it's the right thing to do at that time, we just do it.
I see this girl I like. Boom, send her my dick.
Right. So I guess in our minds that she's going to be sexually turned on by this picture. But I'm sure she's probably going to report it to the police 9 times out of 10.
You're like, I didn't see that going that way.
As men, we take dumb risk. It could either be a less dumb risk, like something like way more innocent than that.
High risk,
like
high reward.
But, you know, we take risk, you know, like maybe trying to snag a kiss on the second date or something. Be like, hey, I don't know you like that. Like, we take risk.
High risk, high reward. That's what we think.
So that only happens in Vegas.
I get offended because, like, you know, I have a child. I don't let her use my phone because of, you know, the way the internet is and you can access anything quickly. But you don't know that. You don't know that I don't let her use my phone and you sending me that.
Right.
Like, and without asking if it's okay, like, I take that as disrespect.
It's weird. When I first started getting them, I was like, what? It is kind of big, but.
I think Shayna said it right. I do find it
you
extremely
don't.
Disrespectful.
So guys, I'm just saying, if you're out there and like, this is not the way to get the girl. If you do get the girl by sending this, is it the girl you really want? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is the girl that really. Hey, Ryan's over there smiling. Ryan, what?
With that hookup.
Everyone's different. Yeah, you never know, but I'm just saying, you should have permission. I totally agree. But
imagine the story that you would say to your kids. Like, I met your mom by posting her
DMs.
Okay,
so we are talking about the. Are you guys getting this? Are you getting boobs? I mean,
it don't work like that for guys.
I don't get that.
I would love that.
It'll work like that for us.
Even
like,
a committed relationship.
Actually, you know what? I had, you know, my social media access has always been Facebook.
I'm sorry.
But I set up a Snapchat account because I wanted to play with the filters. And the first snap I got was a dick pic.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And I had to go to my daughter to ask her how to block this guy.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. It's like, that was
awkward. It's getting out of hand. Quincy says it's risky, but more women than you might realize are turned on by this stuff. Really?
Really?
So go with Quincy.
So there...
Women are casualty of war. I'm sorry. You guys were casualty of war. You didn't like it. You were a casualty of war because, like, men will tell you, men are hunters. And I'm not defending
this.
And
I want you to be a hunter. We've talked about this on our show before. I'd rather you be the pursuer.
Right.
But, like, boom.
And you're casualties of war.
You got to be like.
I mean, if you send it to enough people, I think, like, statistically,
you
say the average
you're going to get
one out of ten,
maybe.
One out of ten.
And that's what he's hoping for.
Right.
I get one out of ten.
Just like going fishing, I guess. You'll get.
And then as far as, like, women sending nudes, we live in an exposure culture now, and they have what they call, revenge porn, where you send things to, you know, a man that you trust, and then they'll post it online publicly for, like, other people to see. Like, I'm very comfortable with my body, but I'm not sending you any nudes.
And now that I've been hearing they're trying to make that's illegal to if someone sends you a picture of themselves and then you send it on to someone else and it's without permission, it is illegal to do that. So shoot.
I think because some of these stories with young people in high school, it has resulted in a few suicides.
Oh, that's the other thing. It's so sad. I know we're talking about millennials here, but now you have these younger kids because they're so just involved in social media. It's everything to them. I mean, these are like middle school kids, high school kids, and they think it's okay to send these pictures, yeah. and then they become, you know, they're everywhere. And like you said, it's yeah. high suicide rate.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's
I mean, let's think of the consequences that comes with that.
I got a quick question. The hunter thing about the man being a hunter, is that on your list? Because I wanted to talk to that too.
No, let's talk about that because – you know what? I see so many. I'm old school in that way. I want you to pursue me. I don't feel comfortable pursuing a man. I think a woman should let him know, give him some kind of sign. It's okay to pursue me because I think you guys are looking for something. Like, I don't know if she likes me.
Verbal, nonverbal signs.
Yeah.
Because he's gotten trouble for that.
I think all women, CEO all the way down to the lady that flips burgers, we all want men to pursue.
Yeah.
Like, we all want men to be men.
Right.
I agree.
What's
Shout
your story,
out to the lady
Anthony?
That flips the burgers.
Anthony, you got something to say.
My story.
What's going on, Anthony?
I met my girl at a baby shower. Like, I was invited by one of my girlfriends. And, you know, I said, hey, I'll look you up on Facebook. She said, all right, cool. And I was going, it's not a 3-day rule, but I didn't want to contact her during the week. I just wanted to give it some time and not look thirsty.
Yeah.
And I know, like, 2 days later, she reached out to me like, so was you going to reach out to me or what? And I was like, yeah, I was. But, you know, I came up with an excuse. Like, you know, we're both working people. I know you'd be busy during the week and you don't want to hear from a man. So I was going to reach out to you on the weekend. She said, okay, that's a good excuse. So what you doing this weekend? Like, she asked me, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm not, what are you doing? You know, and that kind of led to, you know, setting up the first date. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going to be the hunter, but I was delaying my hunting of my prey or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was thinking too much.
But you got her number at the baby shower.
Right.
Well, I got her Facebook.
So you don't give out the number.
Give you my number than my Facebook. I've been on Facebook since my junior year of college.
Right.
It's all types of information on there.
But
I don't want you to gather all of that about me before we first talk on the phone.
Oh, that's good.
But there's Messenger, though.
But
there's
she gave it to him.
Yes, she said, okay, I'm this person. I said, okay, cool. You know, it's like it's a millennial thing. Like, you know, Shayna, come on.
Like, but I'm an older millennial. Like, I talk on the phone, but I text you. And, like, my daughter, she's 7. She's asking for a phone. I'm like, you might get a razor when you're 16. Like, you're not going to get, like, the full phone, like, with everything on it.
That's another thing, too. She wanted to talk to me when we were first talking. Like, not text. But,
like,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
That was new, wasn't it? Was that new?
Okay, so that brings us back to, you said you like to be the pursuer. You want to, you know, you want to pursue your prey. Things are a little different these days. Yeah. It did used to be old school. The men definitely went after the women. The women played, little hard to get. I do see that as changing.
Yeah.
I see the women going for what they want. And we talked about this before and getting it. Mm-hmm. So, again, what do you, as millennials, is that attractive in a woman if she comes after you, or do you still want to go after her?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
It doesn't scare you if she's coming on too strong.
No, but I would say this is what I'll say. So in today's society, when you're dealing with a lot of the, you know, with the Me Too movement, things of that such, you don't want to be too forward with someone that you may not think about it. So maybe it's like not unrequited feelings, and so you reach out to somebody, and she takes it as offense, or she.
But what are you saying to her? Because I mean,
what is this? This is a hypothetical. I'm saying.
I mean, what can she take as offense?
I mean, say for instance,
how you doing?
Say for instance, in a situation where you have a colleague or coworker that you might like, and someone pursues that coworker, and she takes it as, oh, he's trying to hit on me, or he's trying to talk to me, or something like that, and files a complaint with HR. That's going to be on him.
But work is risque, though.
Work is risque.
That's very risque.
Work is risque. Like,
but we're talking about your average girl you see. You want to, you know, say something to her. I'm sure you're not going to say something offensive.
Right. And I think for most guys, I mean, we want a hint. We want to at least know, like, all right, this person has interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, that's going to increase our chances of it being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think... obviously, we're going to be hunters as men. We're going to make that initial move. But yes, we want sort of that reciprocation in terms of communication or feelings, you know, within that.
You want to do and I want to get to you because I know you should. Do you want to see her? I mean, I know you want her to show you something.
Right.
But is it a turnoff if she is the aggressor initially?
I wouldn't say so.
Not to me.
No, okay, I wouldn't say
that's
so.
That's fair.
But yeah. That's only if you like initially, if you like really about this chick. But if you were just like, I'll try her. Or like, you know, if she's an aggressor, you're like, hold up. But if you were like really about this chick from the beginning, then no, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. I think that could be a turn on for some guys. Like some guys may like that. Yeah.
How about you, Benny?
I mean, we just transitioned from us sending outrageous dick pics for no reason to
do we want you to talk to us? Yeah. Yeah. Call this number back after I send you this pic. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little message in the book.
Immediately right. After, right.
Between you and me. So,
we're trying not to leave any space in between. Yes. So, anyway, it happens. I mean, like, from my personal relationship, as he's talking about his, I talk about mine. We actually originally met in high school, but I connected with her on Tinder. So, yeah.
The thirst app.
He got a Cinderella story. He got a Cinderella story. Cinderella.
Is that because you met on Tinder?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay, do tell.
Remet.
Remet, yeah.
No, she was the woman of my dreams in high school.
In high school. So every time she walked out, you were like,
Yeah, I didn't stand a chance. In my mind. Okay. I didn't stand a chance. And she was friends of my friends. Either way, I actually would hang out with her. We were in that maybe friends with benefits, friend zone. And so it wasn't friends with benefits back then, of course. But I would make her laugh. I would build my confidence up, but it never left my mouth. So, and so that was it. I thought, I went to college, started a job. We still live in the same area. So thankfully Tinder picked up 50 mile radius. So boom, we reconnect and I am attacking her. You know, I'm not missing my chance.
So you
again.
Saw her on Tinder.
Yeah, I
you
saw
like,
her.
You're like, whoa.
I got that.
Yep.
And you made the first contact.
I had to super like her if my millennials are out there. Yeah, not afraid to say it.
Super like. Super what like, does that mean? See, I don't even know.
Maybe that's one of the levels.
To explain it, just as it sends notifications to the other Tinder person. Because on Tinder, you have to match. You have to like their picture, and then they have to like your picture following for them to even know you exist.
Okay.
Super like skips that.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's a dick pic of likes, where it just sends you an unwanted notification that the guy's interested in you, and you like that. So,
I want to read True Lynn Doyle. She says, "I have taught my son that he is the hunter, and that most times you don't want a woman who is the aggressor. I don't believe that is a role of a lady." So. Okay. That's just one of our listeners. Thank you, True Lynn, for chiming in. So, you know what? I do think, you know, it's old school. And I appreciate that you saw your opportunity again and you went after her.
He was like, I'm not letting it go.
But I think with this particular girl, had she come after you, it wouldn't have mattered either way to you, probably.
The prior relationship there was, it wouldn't have mattered. I already knew who she was.
Yeah.
But let me chime in on that comment a little bit.
Okay.
It's the difference between being the aggressor and having one aggressive act and just being an aggressive lady when we're in a relationship and you're just, I'm ordering food. I'm opening your door.
Right.
You get in the car. Like.
Because there are a lot of women that are pursued but are the aggressor in the relationship.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
That
and
may
you,
be
and,
kind of.
And you see some men that are perfectly fine with that.
If you're out there, holler at me.
Shayna got something for you. We have about 5 more minutes, I'm guessing, because we're going to go over a little bit because we started late. Tasha, you have any? I've enjoyed you guys.
This
so
is fun.
No, awesome. I had a lot of fun today, and we definitely have to do this again.
Absolutely.
I think we had really good conversation, though.
We
and
did.
Awesome input.
We did.
Yeah.
We
it was.
And Diva Tosh tried to kill us. You know, alcohol poisoning.
Right. Sipsy over here.
I'm woozy right now.
Right. I'm Shayna. Why you got to put my beer on?
I warned you. She is heavy-handed with the tequila now.
Anybody that knows me knows I'm heavy-handed.
I'm feeling a little warm right now.
Something else.
I'm feeling warm, too.
Oh, Lord.
So I think anybody, if you guys got anything else, let me know. Again, I want to say Anthony, thank you.
No problem.
Shayna, thank you. Ryan, thank you. Thank it you, has Ryan. Been a pleasure. Thank you for engineering.
This has been awesome. Thank you.
Eric, thank you.
Thank you.
Benny and...
Benny made a special trip out here for the show. Okay, today.
Yeah. Would you come back for us if we want you to?
Next Sunday should be a problem.
I don't know when, but right. But we'll
work this out.
Okay,
like we'll work it out.
Yes, I will like to work it out with you guys.
Okay. Yeah. So I think that's going to be it for us. Please remember to, first of all, I want to see, where can you find these guys at? Let us know, Anthony.
You can find us on iTunes by ourselves, Can We Talk. You can find us on SoundCloud under Podcast Detroit. Mm-hmm. Like, share, and subscribe. We got a Facebook website, too.
Yep, unofficial
Can We Talk.
We got to get that fixed. We're going to get that changed for y'all.
Don't ask.
But unofficial Can We Talk.
And then your Instagram page?
At Reluctant Movie Buff, all one word. Check out reviews and stuff of that nature. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And as always, you can catch us at 2divasandamargarita.com, Podcast Detroit. We're on SoundCloud.
And we got our Facebook page.
And we have our 2divasandamargarita Facebook page. So thank you for joining. All the guests who joined us online and watched live, thank you so much. You. We appreciate you. Please check in with us again. And I think that's it. We're out of here.
All right.